Hey guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. I'm Jonathan here in Melbourne, Australia, and today I'm going to prove to you that we have yet to preach the kingdom to the ends of the world. Jesus said that the end would come when we preach. When what preach? When this message of the kingdom is preached. And I'm going to prove to you today that we have not preached the message that Jesus preached. So come with me today as we go to the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. We love your word. We thank you that your word is a two-edged sword. And when you cut us with your word, we're excited. We love it, Lord, when you prune us, when you disciple us, when you discipline us. God, we change. You don't change. We change. We change into the image of Christ. We are transformed by the washing of the water of the word. We're even transformed as iron sharpens iron. We are being changed into your image, Jesus. No man, only you, has ever been the express image of the Father. God the Father copied himself in and through you. He copied himself in and through Adam and Eve before they fell. And this message today, church, is about independence. Is the opposite of the kingdom. The only thing that is the enemy of the kingdom of God is another kingdom. I'll say it again. The only thing that is an enemy of the kingdom of light is the kingdom of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 says that we were transferred. We were moved across, shifted into another realm. When we were born again, we were transformed. We were changed. Instantaneously. And let me tell you the truth, guys. The devil does not want you to know about the kingdom of God. He doesn't mind if you get healed. He doesn't mind if you get saved. And if you go to church and if you do good works, he does not want you to preach this one message of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to prove it to you today, guys. And so let's go right away to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching. What was he preaching in the wilderness of Judea? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So Jesus Christ continued on from this very sermon today, guys. John the Baptist preached kingdom. Jesus Christ, I wonder what he preached. Let's have a look in Matthew chapter 4, which is the next chapter. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted for 40 days, and we know what happened. He totally destroyed the devil's works. He won over the devil. Jesus said that he's already been sentenced, and that was before the cross. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach. I wonder what Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So John the Baptist preached kingdom. Jesus Christ preached kingdom. I wonder what the parables were about. Jesus Christ, it says of the disciples, Jesus Christ said nothing unless it was in a parable. Jesus said nothing except through a parable. Isn't that amazing? It says in Matthew 13, all of these things that Jesus said to the crowds in parables, indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Jesus said nothing that was not a parable? Wait a minute. Hang on, I'm getting this. I'm just getting this now. And every parable was about the kingdom? And Jesus said nothing that was not about the kingdom. Guys, I wonder, Lord Jesus, give me wisdom to win souls, because he who wins souls is wise. I wonder whether we have preached Everything but, and sometimes with a little bit of a garnish, but I wonder what would happen if we preached. See, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. He said he would confirm a very specific word, the word of the kingdom. In fact, I just want to take a little bit of a detour right now to a scripture that I was going to read anyway. Jesus sent the 70, and he sent them with authority over the evil spirits. He delegated authority to them. So John the Baptist is only preaching kingdom. Jesus is only preaching kingdom. And then Jesus sends out the 72 in Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road." In other words, don't get distracted. "When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone promotes this peace there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is offered to you." Verse 9. "Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come to you." Man, hang on a minute. Jesus did not send them ahead of him to invite people to synagogue. He did not send people ahead of them to talk about the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments. He did not send people ahead of him in his name, necessarily, to say Jesus is coming. He didn't tell them to preach Jesus, even though, of course, Jesus is the kingdom of God. He sent them to say the kingdom has come. In fact, Jesus Christ himself healed people many times, and it's recorded in the Gospels, and he did not even tell them who he was. People were questioned by the Pharisees in the Gospels saying, "Who healed you on the Sabbath?" And they didn't even know that it was Jesus. So even Jesus isn't preaching Jesus, is my point. Now, don't get distracted or get tied up in questions right now. I'm not in any way saying and diminishing Jesus. He is God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is seated on the throne. He is the exact representation of the Father. What I'm trying to balance here is that the message is kingdom. The message that Jesus preached and the message that we are not preaching is kingdom, generally speaking. Remember, the Bible says that those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Let us talk about godliness. You see, Peter said that godliness is great gain. And he said that he has given us his image. He's actually, we have been made in his image. And he said, with godliness, it's great gain. I want to say to you today that the power of God comes with the kingdom. Paul said the kingdom is not meat and drink, but power in the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. I want to show you that right here, Jesus Christ himself, religious spirits, shut up in Jesus' name. I'm telling you the truth, guys. We have been preaching a false doctrine. We've been and people can get saved through this message of Jesus. But Jesus Christ himself is wanting us to preach kingdom. He's not wanting us to preach just salvation and come into church and believe in Jesus. This is the reason we're not seeing power. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, which is being like God, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And I really believe this scripture would balance everything out for us. God made us in His image. Listen to me now. We are not born of the will of our parents. If you're born again, the Bible is clear that you have been born of God. That means that you are not who you used to be. Your old man is dead, crucified. You might look in the mirror and see the same person, but you are an entirely new species made in the image of God. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, and they were fallen. They fell. What happened? They declared independence from God. They set up a new kingdom. They established the independence from God movement, which is what we're seeing in the earth today. Satan, we know, is the king of the kingdom of darkness. Adam and Eve gave the keys to Satan. They gave the authority to Satan. He became the ruler of this world vicariously through Adam and Eve. We handed the keys over, and the world was thrown into disarray. Independence is the enemy of the kingdom of God. That is why we need to die to ourselves. That is why we need to become like little children. That is why God in Isaiah says, you know, he's with the contrite in heart. He dwells with those who are humble. Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it. In other words, it's dependence, dependence, dependence. Jesus Christ in the parable of the sower said, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any other parable. In other words, if you cannot receive in your heart the kingdom message, then you're lost. We need to become like little children who receive the kingdom. We receive the kingdom. If you say to a little child, do you want to go to Disneyland? They don't ask about the budget. They don't ask about the whether it's first class or business class or economy. They say yes. Children readily receive. Children readily receive. Adults don't. Adults learn how to rationalize, how to become independent. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be saved, but it means that if you are going to be saved, you are going to necessarily need to become like a little child. If you can believe what Jesus said, that God rose him from the dead, that he is the Son of God, and that on the third day he rose from the dead, then you will be saved. But that is very hard for some people to believe. It's very hard. It's a stumbling block for the Jews, and it's an offense to the Greek. But to those who believe, Jesus Christ is the power of God. And that's what I want to get back to today. God has given us divine power, not human power, divine power. He has given us everything required for life and to be like God. Adam and Eve were like God. God has given us Christians who believe, those who were able to receive the word on good soil, like a little child, because we're not independent anymore. We're dependent on God, dependent on one another, dependent on the church, dependent on every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. We have been given the power that's required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. So we, yes, we are saved through Jesus Christ. We are saved by His blood. We are saved by drinking His blood, eating His body. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the King. I exalt Jesus Christ above all. We worship Him and Him alone. But He has included us. He's included us. He's included us in the Godhead. Sorry. Not sorry, but I'm sorry to tell you that Jesus prayed that we would be one as he is one. The Father in the Son in the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit in the Father, and the Father in us, and us in the Father, and us in the Holy Spirit, and us in the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us, and the Father in us, and he'd make his home in us, and we would be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, when you relinquish your own opinion, you can receive the kingdom. Guys, I've been Jonathan. Don't throw stones and rocks at me, guys, for telling you the truth. The reason we haven't seen signs and wonders and power encounters is because we're not preaching the kingdom. The kingdom is the message that Jesus preached. The kingdom is the message that is confirmed. So guys, I guarantee you today, as you begin to preach the kingdom, yes, you will experience persecution. Yes, you will experience suffering, because those who suffer with him will reign with him. But you will also begin to experience more and more abundant life like you've never experienced before. And God will confirm your words with signs and wonders. The kingdom is power. The kingdom is the demonstration of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is, let me explain this to you guys. I have a lot of scriptures that I didn't go over, but in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." So what am I saying here? I'm going to explain. I've never heard it explained before. Part one of Matthew 6:33 is that your sole purpose in life is for the increase of Jesus' territory. You don't live for the increase of your own territory. You live for the expansion of the government that is on his shoulders. In other words, you live solely for blind eyes to open, deaf ears to open, chains to be broken. This is what Jesus wants. This is what Jesus is doing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, to bring blind eyes open, deaf ears open, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the kingdom. The kingdom is abundant life. The kingdom is Jesus. The kingdom is the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is casting out devils. And then you can say the kingdom has come. So the kingdom is an action. The kingdom is when the government of God takes over and manifests. The kingdom comes when devils leave. The kingdom comes when eyes open, when deaf ears open. The kingdom comes when there's freedom and liberty. And then you can tell people the kingdom has come. Now, they can choose whether they receive it or not, but that's only part A. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom," which is seeking first the advancement of the kingdom, seeking first the propagation of the kingdom, seeking first the increase of the government of Jesus Christ in every situation, every relationship. The second part is, and seeking first his righteousness, which is the ability to stand before God. So your primary and sole pursuit is intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You can approach the Father. When you see him, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ because you have applied it. You have applied the blood of Jesus Christ. You eat his body. You drink his blood. You wash your robes in his blood so that they can be white. That gives you favor. That gives you access. You can stand before God because you are righteous. Because of his sacrifice, not your sacrifice, nothing you've done other than to receive. So that is how we live our life, Christians. We seek first the advancement of his government. We demonstrate his government with signs and wonders following, because we preach the message and we desire and we hunger for righteousness. We desire Jesus. We eat Jesus. We drink Jesus. We put on Jesus. Because that is his righteousness. His righteousness is a free gift. His righteousness is received through faith by grace. Let me pray for you today. Father, I want to thank you for these people's eyes are opened in Jesus' name. They've received your word today. Father God, wash over them with the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. If they're proud, humble them, Father God. Let them be humbled under your mighty hand, that you would exalt them in due time. Would you give them the kingdom today? Expand the kingdom today. Advance the kingdom today. Lord, we give them angels, Lord, to support them in their work. In Jesus' name. Peace be upon you in Jesus' name. I've been Jonathan. You've been listening to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. Just a quick summary. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The enemy of the kingdom of light is the kingdom of darkness. The devil is the one who personally steals the seed, Jesus said. The one who steals the seed is Satan. He does not want you or me to preach this message. This is the one message that he will steal. He's not going to steal your message about salvation or your message about coming to church or coming up the front and putting your hands up. I'm not against those things. But he will violently oppose those who seek first and preach the kingdom of God. But don't worry. Don't worry, because we win. We win. Look at how Paul and the disciples were persecuted because of the message that they preached. I want to encourage you to preach the kingdom today. In Jesus' name. With signs and wonders following. You're more like God than you want to admit. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. He said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Bye for now.